could turn to Genesis chapter 12. If you're there, say amen. If you're cheating and looking at the screen, say amen. That pretty much covered everyone. I do that too sometimes, most times. And it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all of their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thee, and to thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Can we pray this morning and ask that God would speak to us, that God would touch our hearts, that God would help our hearts to be ready to receive what he has? Can you lift your voice this morning? God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to come into your house, Lord, to worship with your people, God, to lift your name up. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would help our hearts this morning to be ready, God, to receive your word, that it would be good ground, fertile soil, God, ready, Lord, to receive your word, that it may grow, God, that it may strengthen in our lives. God, I pray that our ears will be ready to hear, God, quick to hear your word and ready to receive it. Lord, I pray that our minds will be quickened to understand what you are speaking to us. Lord, I pray that this morning, God, we would not just hear this word, but we will apply it, Lord, and receive this word. And as we go from this house today, Lord, that we would practice it and apply it in our daily lives. Lord, speak to us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Today I would like to speak on simply this: surrender. Surrender. Merriam-Webster describes the word surrender this way. It says, to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. An agreement to stop fighting, hiding, resisting, etc., because you know that you will not win or succeed. An act of surrendering. No one likes to surrender. No one likes to surrender. I don't like to surrender. If we're playing ball and I want to beat you. If we're playing rock, paper, scissors, I want to beat you. If we're playing I Spy, I want to beat you. No one likes to surrender. In this day and age, no one likes to give up power. No one likes to give up control. And absolutely no one likes to give up their possessions. That's why we have shows like Hoarders. It can be a very disgusting show to watch. Disturbing, whatever you want to call it. But this is just human nature. We are instinctively that way from birth. As a kid, we are taught we need to share. We don't want to share. We don't like to share, but we need to share. And it's share with your brother and share with your cousins and share with your friends. And then, as teenagers, we like control. Amen? Those of you that have ever been a teenager can say amen. That's all of us. I stole that from this weekend. It was really good. And as adults, in our jobs and in many other ways, we like power. We want to have power. We want to have control and power in what's going on around us. We associate surrender with failure. We feel that that when we no longer have control, we will no longer be happy. If we lose control, if we lose the power over our own lives, then we will no longer be happy. But the truth is, it's often because we want to surrender to something else. We don't like to give up control to somebody else because we want to control what we surrender to. We don't want them to control what we surrender to. We don't want them to have power over what takes place in our life. Everybody eventually surrenders to something or someone. If it's not God, we will surrender to something, whether it's the opinions or expectations of others. To many, resentment, bitterness, to fear, or to our own pride, our lusts. But we will surrender to something. If we don't give it to God, we're going to give our lives, we're going to give control over our feelings, over our emotions to something. You are free to choose what you surrender to, but you are not free from the consequences of those decisions. You are free to choose what you give control to, but you are not free from the consequences that that will bring in our life. E. Stanley Jones said, if you don't surrender to Christ, you surrender to chaos. How many know that's true this morning? That when I didn't give control to God, there was chaos in my life. From the decisions that I made, from the things that I surrendered to, all it did was bring chaos in my life. Surrender to God is not the best way to live. It is the only way to live. Amen? Surrendering to God is not an option. It's a requirement to live a peaceful and joyful life. Nothing else works. Surrendering to God brings freedom, not bondage. So many times we think, I lose control, I'm a slave to whatever else they want. But when we give control to God, yes, if we give control to sin, we are a slave to sin. If we give control to lust, we are a slave to lust. If we give control to anger, we are a slave to anger. If we give control to bitterness, we are a slave to bitterness. But if we give control to God, we get freedom in our spirit. We get freedom in our lives. We are no longer bound by the things of this world, but we are free to live for Him and to live a life that is pleasing to Him. When we surrender to God, we are yielding to the purpose and the plan that He has for our lives. We are saying, God, not my will, but Thy will be done. I don't know what's best for me, but I know that You know what's best for me. I don't know what decisions and choices I should make, but You know what decisions and choices I need to make. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to surrender my will to Your will because You have a plan for my life. You said the thoughts that I think towards You are of good thoughts, of prosper, God, to be strengthened. Lord, I want that in my life, so I'm going to surrender to the freedom that I can find in You. Surrender is best demonstrated in obedience. But there is a difference. But surrender is best demonstrated in obedience. We see this in the life of Abraham. Through the story of Abraham's life, God put a call on Abraham's life. He told Abraham that if he would surrender and obey, leave his country, his family, and even his father's house, that He would make him a great nation, He will bless him, and He would give him a great name. Amen? We just read that, and we understand that. But I want to stop here for a moment and say this, that sometimes the call of God in our lives will make us a little uncomfortable. See, God called Abraham to leave his country, to leave his family, and to leave his father's house, to leave the comforts. And sometimes, oftentimes, the call of God in our life will lead us through a time or a season or a life of uncomfort. Sometimes the call of God in our life will mean a separation from the people, from the places, and from the things that would hold us back from doing the will of God in our life. Sometimes the will of God says, I need to take you away from all the people that you know, from all the places that you're comfortable with, and from the things that's going to hold you back from who I have ordained you to be. See, the first thing God told Abraham to leave was his country. This was his culture. They spoke the same language, they lived the same lifestyle, and they worshiped the same gods. But you see, when you're called by God, you surrender to His will, you are no longer the same. Amen? How many can attest to that? That when you got bought with a price, You are no longer the same person that you were before. Are you thankful for that? That when God took you out of sin, when he took you out of the miry clay, he set your feet on the rock to stay, that he put a song in your heart and a joy in your spirit. We no longer speak the same language. We don't talk how we used to talk. We don't say the things that we used to say. We don't have the same conversations that we used to have. Amen. Our texts are different. Our social medias are different. Yeah, I'm that guy, folks. I'm going there. I said, when God changes you, when God calls you, when you surrender to the call, you no longer have the same conversations. You don't text like you used to text. You don't social media like you used to social media. Because we surrender our tongue to him, we speak a new language now. Amen? When we surrender to God, we surrender our tongue. We surrender our speech. We give control to him. The Bible says that no man can tame the tongue, but God can. And when God says, I'm going to come and live inside of you, I'm going to use that as an example to show you that I have control over you this morning. We don't have the same kind of lifestyle anymore. We don't go to the same places that we used to go. We don't act the same way that we used to act. We don't listen to the same kind of music or watch the same kind of movies because we are different when we respond and surrender to the call of God in our life. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you into my spirit. We no longer serve the world, but be ye holy, for I am holy, the Bible says. When we no longer serve the gods of this world, we serve the King of Kings, we serve the Lord of Lords, we have surrendered our life to him, and we need to show it by the way that we act and by the way that we speak. We need to show the world that I am different. Because I'm a Christian. I am different because I've surrendered my will to his. I don't have to live in miry clay anymore like you. I don't have to live drinking and waking up with a hangover. I don't have to live not knowing where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't have to live not knowing how I'm going to eat because God provides all of my needs. God gives me what I need. God is my answer, not the sins of this world. The second thing that God told Abraham to leave was his family. His family, this was his support system. It was protection, companionship. It was a familiarity, a comfort zone for Abraham. When we surrender to God's will, it requires stepping out of our comfort zone. Amen? It will require stepping out into the unfamiliar and into the unknown. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit. But we'll make it through. You see, it requires us to put ourselves out. It requires us to be vulnerable, to have faith that he will protect us and that he will support us. Amen? It requires us to move outside of the normal, to see the world is bigger than our family, to realize that our mission field is more than just those that we were raised with. Amen? I'll say that again. It requires us to move outside of the normal, to see that the world is bigger than our family, and to realize that our mission field is more than just the people that we were raised with. The Bible says it is into you, into your children, into all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if we only worry about our family, who is going to share the gospel with all those that the Lord our God has called? If we just stick to our family, stick to the same 10 people every year, determining that we're going to find them in the altar, and year after year, we get rejected. And year after year, we miss the opportunity to reach those that God is calling, that don't know this truth. Surrendering to the call means that I'll have to spend less time with those I was raised with and spend more time building his kingdom. Less time devoted to them and more time devoted to him. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62 says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. He said to another person, come and follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, let me first return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. And another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Am I saying that we should reject our family and never talk to our family again? No. But see, this goes deeper than just our comfort zones. It's bigger than just us spending time with our brothers or our sisters or our cousins. The gravity is so much stronger. Abraham came from a family of idol worshipers. Had Abraham not obeyed the call of God in his life, then his children and his future generations would be lost. Hear me saying of God, your family's future depends on the choices that you make now. Your family's salvation depends on the choices that you make now. Will you surrender to the call of God, or will you surrender to the temporary pleasures of this world? If you're a guest here today and you have yet to experience the peace that living for God offers, hear me when I say this, there is nothing better. Maybe you have been battling the attacks of this world. Maybe you have been haunted by the mistakes of your past. Maybe you have dealt with generational curses that have plagued your family for years. But I'm here to tell you, you no longer have to fight hell alone. Surrender to the call of God. Today is the day of salvation. But we know that no matter what, if we surrender to the call, like Abraham, we can be called a friend of God. Yeah, we might be rejected by our family. Yeah, we might have to put distance between our family because it's coming between us and God. But God will not leave us alone. God will not leave us on an island. You see, He can call you a friend. He has provided the body of Christ, the family of God, that strengthens, that supports. We can be of one mind and one accord, doing the will of God in our life. The third thing God told Abraham to leave was his father's house. And this meant his identity, his provision, and his inheritance. Surrendering to the call means we lose our identity. We are now committed to doing what and being who he wants us to be. Maybe we have to give up some things that we think make us who we are. That may require rearranging our priority list or possibly remaking our priority list. But that's okay because we know that we are not our own. Amen? For we were bought with a price. And we surrender to His will. And when we surrender to His way, then we will be more like Him. Surrendering to the call means we rely on God for provision. No matter what comes against us, no matter how hard times get, we know that as long as we are surrendered to the call, as long as we are following in His footsteps, as long as we are yielding to His will for our life, that He will provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? We know that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and that we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to worry about what we look like to others. We don't have to worry about how we are portraying. We don't have to worry about what they are saying that we should do or what they are saying that we how we should act or how they are saying that we should address. But our identity is found in Jesus. Amen? Surrendering to the call means that we have received an eternal inheritance that will never fade. 1 Peter 1:4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Amen? We know that if we surrender our lives to Him, if we surrender our will to Him, if we surrender our earthly inheritance to Him, if we give up all the things of this world, the temporal things that we could receive in this world, and we give it to Him, that we'll have an inheritance that will not fade. Amen. We'll have a mansion in heaven with streets of gold. Amen. I don't know, that makes me excited. That gets me a little excited. I can have a nice house down here, but I want a bigger house up there. I can have a nice car down here, but I want to run on streets of gold up there. Amen? It's not worth it to have the things of this world. It's not. It's not. I'm about to preach to myself for a moment. I'm about to be in my own little bubble. Excuse me, guys. You guys can watch. You see, Abraham obeyed God in that he left almost everything behind and followed God. But in Genesis 12, verses 4 through 5, it says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came." You see, God told Abraham to leave his country, his family, and his father's house. But Abram brought his nephew Lot. You see, there was partial obedience, but not surrender. He did what God said, for the most part. Does that sound familiar? He did what God said for the most part. You see, we like to follow what God wants us to do most of the time. We like to follow the laws that God has for us most of the time. But if they're inconvenient, well, if it's not comfortable, I'll preach to myself. Say it, say it. Let's be honest. If it's not what we want, then we find a way around it. If it's not what we want, then we'll alter it just a little bit. I dress modest for the most part. I don't go to most bad places. I don't use most cuss words. I give up most things, but when it comes to full surrender, now I feel like I'm in bondage. But you were fine when you surrendered, and God took that bitterness. You were fine when you surrendered, and God took that pain. You were fine when you surrendered, and God healed you in the altar of that pain you were with for many years. But when God says surrender all, I'll give up most of it. How much do I have to give up to get my back healed, God? How much do I have to give up that you'll save, that you'll restore my relationship with my kids? How much do I have to give up so that way you can get me this good job? I'll give up that much. But I'm not going to surrender all. I'll do most of it. I'll obey most of the way. But this was just the first of many times Abram would not fully obey, he would not fully trust, and he would not fully surrender to God. You see, in Genesis chapter 12, we see that Abraham and had his wife Sarah claim to be his sister to protect his life. Never. That's pretty sick, twisted. In Genesis chapter 13, we see that Abraham finally separates from his nephew Lot. After doing so, God reminds him of the covenant he made with Abraham. You see, when God calls Abraham, years later, he leaves, and he's wandering through the country with God's direction for many years. Many years. And he grows wealthy, and Lot grows wealthy, and their cattle grows, and the herdsmen start fighting. This is over years and over years, and God hasn't spoken to Abraham since the first call. And finally, Abraham says, okay, let's separate. This isn't working out. Now that it's not working out for me, now we're going to fully separate. And he separates from Lot. And when he does so, God speaks to him again and reminds him, I gave you a promise. I'm going to fulfill it. But Abraham still, not fully surrendered, doesn't understand how God will fulfill his promise. So in Genesis chapter 16, we see that Abraham listens to Sarah and tries out of their own wisdom and out of their own abilities to bring to fruition God's promise of an offspring and a great nation. He sleeps with Sarah's handmaid and brings forth Ishmael, who would forever fight the promised offspring of God to this day. How many times does God give us a promise, and when we don't see how it's going to work out, we don't see how it's going to happen, okay, God, I know you're probably struggling. I know you're having a hard time. So allow me. I got this. Amen? We're so big now. We're like, yeah, God gave me a promise. All right, God, let's go. God's going to take care of me. I'm going to leave everything. Ooh, God, not doing so well. Let me show you how it should be done. And every single time, it ends up as a mess. And God says, you want my help now? You trust me now? In Genesis chapter 18, he tells Abraham, or Abraham tells his promised blessing, sorry, in Genesis chapter 18, God tells Abraham that his promised blessing will come through Sarah, his wife, and that he will have a son. Then in Genesis chapter 20, we see that Abraham again had his wife Sarah claim to be his sister to protect, yet again, his own life. He trusts that lying about his relationship with his wife will work better than trusting that God, who had promised that his offspring would come from his wife, would protect the promise. So many times, we don't believe that the promise God gave us, that he will provide. And oftentimes, we don't believe that he will protect us till we receive the promise. We try to say, well, I'm going to figure this out on my own. I'm going to work this out on my own. I see a problem here. I see a situation here. So allow me to work what I feel needs to be done to protect and go for the goal, the call that God has given me. God, I know you've given me a call, but I don't want to die before I get it. If God has given you a promise, he will fulfill the promise. If God has given you a call, he will fulfill the call. Nothing in this world, nothing of this world can stop the call of God on your life. Time after time, Abraham tried to fulfill and work out the call, tried to fulfill and work out the promise of God in his life, but time and again, it failed, and time and again, it did not work out. Finally, we see in Genesis chapter 21, Sarah gives birth to a son, Isaac, the son that Abraham and Sarah had always longed for, the promised son, the promised offspring that God would use to make Abraham a great nation. After so many times of lying, of trying, and to do it on their own and failing, trying to find out how they can work the call of God in their life, they find that God is faithful to his promise. All the work, all the surrender, the leaving of the family, it was all worth it. The son had come. But God had a test for Abraham. You see, up until this point, Abraham was obedient, but he wasn't surrendered. He was obedient, but he hadn't fully given his all to God. He was obedient, but he hadn't fully surrendered. When God told him to move, he moved. When God told him to stop, he stopped. But whenever Abraham got impatient, whenever Abraham faced a tough situation, he always tried to fix it himself. He always tried to handle it on his own rather than surrender to God. We don't like God's calendar. We like our calendar. We don't like God's timing. We like our timing. We shoot a text to somebody and they don't respond. Are you mad at me? Why haven't you responded? Amen? We like our timing. I don't care what you're doing. I'm most important. Get it straight, man. Text me back. Call me back. We FaceTime them and they decline us and we're like, what's going on? We like our timing. We don't like God's timing. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 18, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I want to pause there for a moment. You see, when you take your family, when you take your kids away from their surroundings, when you take your kids away from the things of this world, when you separate from the family that worship his idols, when you take them away from the family that only serves themselves, you could teach them and they'll understand. You could teach them and they'll see. They can watch your life and see, oh, this is how we live for God. You see, Isaac understood, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the offering? See, at a young age, he had already understood the importance of an offering, the importance of an altar in his life. Had he been back with the idols, he would not have understood the right way to worship God. Abraham could try, but he would be confused. Why are they doing it this way, and why do we do it that way? We have to bring our kids, separate them from this world, and say, hey, this is how you live for God. This is the right way. I don't care what your friends do. I don't care what our family does. This is how we're going to live for God. This is the way the Bible says to live for God, and this is what we're going to obey. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went to the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord shall it be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the sea shore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We know that as Samuel talking to Saul, but we see that here. God called Abraham for the greatest sacrifice of Abraham's life. It's one thing to leave a house. It's one thing to leave some animals. It's one thing to leave your father and your mother and move to another city. It's one thing to separate from the people that you love, but it's another thing to offer your child as a sacrifice. But his obedience to God, his obedience to do the will of God, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice, no matter what it took, was more important to God than the sacrifice he was willing to offer. What does that mean? You could say, well, I go to church every service and I never miss. And that's a sacrifice. But obedience to the will of God, obedience to the word of God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday is more important than the sacrifice that we make. Saying, well, I don't watch as much TV now. I spend more time with charities. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, I don't drink anymore. I gave that up. What, did you give up your language? Did you give up the attitude? Did you let go of the bitterness towards that one person? But I gave up drinking, and I love drinking. That was a sacrifice. But are you obedient all the way through? God doesn't want just part. Not just part of you is not going to heaven. You're either all the way going or you're all the way not. You can't just make it. If you're trying to just make it in heaven, you're going to for sure make it in hell. We need to fully surrender to God and say, I'm going to obey no matter the cost. I'm going to more than just sacrifice one thing that's holding me back. I'm going to sacrifice all that's holding me back from surrendering to you. You see, this is the first time the word obey has ever been used in the Bible up until this point. The importance of Abraham to fully obey God, to fully sacrifice, to fully surrender, was of utmost importance to God. This time, Abraham fully obeyed. This time, Abraham was patient. You see, God called him and told him, go offer thy son. 4 days later, it took before the sacrifice was to take place. This time, Abraham doesn't try to do it on his own. And the 4 days between God telling Abraham and Abraham laying Isaac on the altar, he didn't try to find a way out this time. He didn't try to find a way to skirt around the situation. He didn't try to find someone to take the place of Isaac. He didn't try to say, "Isaac, lie," and say, "You're someone else." He didn't try to find a way out. He said, "Hear my Lord, and I will do what you're calling me to do." He simply surrendered his will. He surrendered his desires. He surrendered completely to the will of God. No rebuttal, no wild ideas, no questions asked. And because of this surrender, he saw the grace and the provision of God. He was the first person to understand the grace and the provision of God in his life. And he received his promise. Surrender is best demonstrated by obedience. But the difference between surrender and obedience is this. Surrendered people fully obey God's word, even if it doesn't make sense. Surrendered people don't rebuttal. Surrendered people aren't like the child that says, "Go clean your room." Why? "Because I said so." Why? Surrendered people don't ask questions. Surrendered people don't challenge. Well, if the military, if an army captures a group of men and says, "I want you to take all your clothes off, put these clothes on, leave your shoes in a pile, and go in your cage." If he does everything but leaves the shoes on, he's not fully surrendered. "I surrender, don't shoot me. But I'm not going to do what you say." That's not surrender. They wouldn't stand for it. Surrendering isn't with clauses. Surrendering isn't saying, "I will, but, I will if, I will under these conditions." That's not surrender. Luke 18:18 through 23 says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God.'" God is saying here, "Oh, so you understand who I am. 'Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." You see, he was obedient. He kept all the commandments. And God understood that. God recognized that. God agreed. God said, "True, you have. You have done good. You've followed all the commandments, but you lack one thing. You haven't fully surrendered. There's something that's holding you back from doing the perfect will that I have for you in my life. One thing that you're keeping hold of." I believe that if the ruler would have said, "Okay, let me go, I'll sell all that I have, and I'll come back to you," I believe that God would have said, "Wait, no. I just wanted to know if you would. I wanted to know if that thing that's most important to you, the thing that makes you who you are, the thing that you identify with, if you would give that to me, then I know that you're surrendering. I know that you're giving me all, and I would have let you keep it." I believe that's what God would have said. You see, it's more than just being a good person. It's more than just helping at shelters or giving to charities. It's more than putting money in the offering plate or praying over our food. It's more than following the Ten Commandments. It's about complete surrender to God. It's more than just coming to church twice a week. It's more than being an usher or a greeter. It's more than singing or AV. It's more than cleaning or preaching. It's about full surrender. All of those things are good. All of those things are right and needed. And God, help us if we don't do them. God, help us if we aren't faithful to the commitments that we've made to him. But it's about complete surrender in our lives. It's about fully surrendering our will to him and saying, "God, whatever it takes, no matter the cost, I will follow you." Someone once said, if we could all stand this morning, complete surrender isn't easy, but it's necessary to live for God. It's necessary to have the blessings of God in our life. Someone once said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within our lives. I don't understand why God hasn't blessed me. I don't understand why why I don't have that job yet. I don't understand why I don't have that relationship yet. I don't understand why I'm not married yet. I don't understand why I don't have the ministry that I know God wants for me. I don't understand why. Because you are still trying to do it yourselves. We are still trying to work it with our own hands. We are still trying to work it under our own understanding, our own thoughts, our own abilities. And we haven't come to the end of ourselves. We haven't got tired of saying, okay, I won't do it anymore. Have your way. And God's saying, that's all I was waiting for this whole time. I have blessings I'm ready to give you. I have things that I want to do in your life, but you can't do it. Only I can. And until you understand that, until we understand that God says it's either my way or no way, we won't receive what he has. We won't receive the blessings. We won't fulfill the call because we must surrender first. Luke 9, 23 through 25 said, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and yet loses himself or be cast away? In other words, that verse could say this, if any man wants to be my disciple, he must set aside all his dreams and desires, all selfish interests, agree to endure whatever may come against him, and follow me, no matter what the cost, even if it means death. For whoever wishes to make his life great on earth will lose it when he dies, because everyone dies eventually. But whoever decides to sacrifice earthly pleasures for me now will have pleasures for eternity. What does a man gain if he gets wealth, fame, and success, but yet goes to hell for eternity? Are we willing to completely surrender to God's will? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you have yet to experience what it's like to live for God, if you're here today, maybe this is your first time, or maybe you just haven't decided to give everything to God. Maybe you haven't surrendered to his will. Maybe you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. You don't have to leave the same. You don't have to leave this place and battle the same struggles, the same temptations, the same curses that you face day in and day out. But today is the day of salvation. Today you can be changed. Today you can be filled. Today you can be delivered. I'd like to open this altar to anyone. To anyone that says, God, not my will, but thy will be done. God, not my way, but your way. God, have your way in my life. God, I want to surrender to you. God, I want to give you all that I am. God, I don't want to do it on my own anymore. God, I've come to the end of myself. I can't take another day like this. I can't take another day fighting these same battles. I can't take another day trying to figure out what my next step will be. But God, I'm here to surrender all to you. God, I want you to come and live inside my heart. God, I want to be full of your spirit. God, I want to receive the power that comes after the Holy Ghost has come upon me. God, I want to have power, Lord, to overcome the temptations. God, I want to have power to overcome the unction that says I can do it on my own. God, I want what you have for me. God, I don't want to do it any longer. I'm tired of messing it up. I'm tired of trying to fix it myself and breaking it again and again. God, I'm tired of trying to figure out the best way for my life, but God, I want you to decide my future. God, I'm tired of trying to make it work, and over again, I hurt the same people. I break the same things. I mess up the same stuff. God, I don't want to do it anymore. God, I don't want to do it anymore, but Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. I'm tired of trying to figure it out. I'm tired of trying to understand, but Lord, I'm just here to surrender. God, I'm here to surrender all to you. God, I'm here to give it all to you. God, I'm going to leave this place, God, in complete surrender. God, I'm not going to try to figure it out in the morning, but tomorrow, God, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to look to you, God, that you can order my steps. God, that you can guide my path. God, I want to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, I'm here to fully surrender. Hallelujah, Jesus.